districts, educators, and parents in Arizona are working to improve how students are learning, even with continued funding shortfalls. There are areas of agreement and disagreement, but most seem on board to push for some kind of change. That's part of the series Arizona Republic Digital Opinions editor Joanna Allhands has been writing. She's focusing on what steps will, quote, move the needle, and is with me to talk specifically about school size. That doesn't necessarily mean class size, but the actual size of the buildings. Joanna, why can the size of the school building itself make a difference in the learning environment for students?
I'll be clear that the research on this is actually pretty limited. So, or it's not very scientifically sound. They haven't done a lot of like long-term studies. There's just a few out there. And they tend to focus more on the high school years than like in elementary and stuff. But one of the things that we have found, the academic benefits, some schools have done really, really well. You get smaller schools and the kids just flourish, you know. Other schools, it's been kind of mixed. And to be quite honest, we don't really know why.
Okay.
The academic benefits are kind of in, but there's some more intangible benefits of smaller schools. And one especially, and this, it's really, it just sort of makes sense, is if you're in a really large environment, especially in a high school where the kids are not in the same classroom all day with the same teacher and the same students with them. I mean, they're kind of moving from classroom to classroom. When you have really big environments like that, they can get pretty impersonal, and it's really easy for kids to fall through the cracks, especially kids that may be having some, you know, issues, either things at home, like we've talked about before, you know, or just socioeconomic kind of stuff that might be a challenge, or just that they don't fit in, or they don't feel like, you know, I'm really learning anything, or I'm really not, you know, really challenged by my classes. In a larger environment, that can sort of be exacerbated. And here in Arizona, we have really big schools.
Why do we have big schools?
Well, really, it's an economic thing. It really is. You know, we were growing so fast and there were so many kids, and it was just like, oh my gosh, you know, we have got to get these schools built today because we can't wait on the growth. I mean, it's, you know, schools were really just trying to keep afloat. And so the best way that they could do that was to build really ginormous schools that they could shove as many students in as possible because they just didn't have time. And so really, you know, I think probably in slower growth times, maybe with some of the very old schools, there was kind of this time to sort of sit back and talk about like, what kind of environment do we want and how do we want to build these things and that sort of thing. Although, of course, the building style, even of some of the very old buildings, really doesn't match how we teach these days. So that's a whole other issue. But, you know, really a lot of that introspective kind of thought process really didn't happen because we were just growing so fast. And so schools were just, it was like, this is the school formula that worked. This is what we got. We got, you know, we, especially in the school facilities board days, once that came along and there were requirements to get funding, it was like, just spit them out. Let's just get these schools and go along.
You mentioned there's not that much research in terms of the size of schools, but are there obvious reasons or maybe not so obvious reasons as to why there was a trend, or at least maybe there's a continuing trend to have smaller schools in different parts of the country? I understand the Gates Foundation had some issue with that.
Yeah, well, the Gates Foundation, the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, they had this whole initiative where they were convinced that if we build a bunch of small schools, they focus more on high schools, and it was in kind of the 500 student realm, that if we do that, we're going to see this huge transformation. And there were two problems with that. One, I think Gates overpromised. There are no silver bullets in education. You can't just do something and be like, suddenly we fixed education. That doesn't happen. So there was an expectation level there that was just wrong. I think with a lot of the grants that they had, it was very top down. And so it was like they were sort of imposing on different districts, and every district is different. Kids have different needs. They were just basically saying, like, you do this thing, and, you know, some it worked and some it didn't. So then everybody was like, oh my gosh, you know, the Gates Foundation, they spent billions of dollars and this was a total failure. Well, it was and it wasn't. There were some real successes, and yes, there were some failures. And so I think we kind of threw the baby out with the bathwater in that a little bit. I think, you know, and I think that's just the way it is with education, is we're very much like, if we don't have an immediate result, we just want to like throw things out and be like, well, that didn't work. And then we go on to something else. And so we're kind of like, you know, that scene in the movie Up, where it's like, squirrel, squirrel, squirrel. That's what we're doing. You know, we're just looking over here and like, here's this new education trend. Let's do that in here. And so that is sort of what happened, I think, with the small schools idea. It had a good core. and we didn't stick with it long enough, and we were just looking for what's the new silver bullet.
Well, you had some suggestions, and I wanted to ask you about one, or at least, they're listed as lessons, but to use the right wording, consider schools within schools. That's intriguing to me.
Yeah, and so this is a very new idea, and so we don't really have a ton of evidence to know, like, or really to point to and be like, this is the move, you know, this is how it needs to go. But Phoenix Union is rethinking these ginormous campuses that they have. And, you know, they started doing this several years ago where they were coming up with these micro schools that are kind of, you know, focused on certain areas like aerospace or police or, you know, coding and that sort of thing. And so they've kind of taken that concept of having these little tiny, really focused programs. And they've said, well, what if we took a giant school that's, by the way, not full anymore. And what if we put several of those academies in one school? And so it kind of functions like a university. Like you're in a college and a university. So say like I majored in journalism, right? I was in the journalism school. I took a lot of classes through the journalism school, but then, you know, you could still be in the band. You were still, you know, playing sports and whatever. You can do all that kind of stuff through the larger school, but you're part of this smaller academy. So you have a cohort of students that's much smaller. You're with the same kind of kids, you know, every day. You're kind of focused on a certain area like aerospace or something like that. That's what they're thinking. Now, granted, it's not cheap to do this. And, you know, the way that the state money, the school facilities board money does not cover these kind of renovations. So schools have to shoulder this kind of thing themselves. There's been a huge response from the community already. I mean, even just in a year that they've really had this going at South Mountain High School, which was the first one where they've done this school within a school within a school within a school thing, they've just had a huge response. They have a wait list now.
Joanna Allhands is digital opinions editor for the Arizona Republic and AZ Central. We've been talking about the latest in her Moving the Needle education series. Good to see you. Thanks.
Thank you.